Hello everyone, I'm Shruti Kamath, your podcast host. Welcome back to yet another episode of season 2 of the podcast. In case you're new here, I would highly recommend you listen to the introduction episode. And to others, welcome back. You can now follow us on Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn at Stories of InfoSec Journeys and on Twitter at InfoSec Journeys. Today with us, we have Sandesh Anand. Sandesh is an InfoSec professional based in Bangalore. He has worked for over a decade in helping companies build and mature their security programs. He started out as a pen tester but now manages Razorpay's security program. Sandesh is also the author of Boring AppSec, a newsletter on the often ignored aspects of building a security program. When not thinking about security, Sandesh enjoys running, birding, and consuming copious amounts of news. Welcome to season 2 of the podcast, Sandesh. Thank you so much for being here. In your own words, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for having me here, Shruti. So like you said, my name is Sandesh Mysud Anand. I currently manage the security information security team at Razorpay, which is one of India's largest fintech companies. I've been kind of doing security for a little over 10 years now, a little over a decade. And yeah, I mean, I kind of started out with application security for a really long time. And then over the last few years, kind of expanded to other areas of security as well. I live in Bangalore and, I've spent most of my life here. I did spend about 5 years away in Washington, D.C. to go study there, and I worked there a little bit as well. So most of my life, most of my work life has kind of been split across two different companies. I used to work for Cigital, which was then acquired by Synopsys, and then at Razorpay. Outside of work, I kind of enjoy running on and off. Right now is the on period, so I'm getting back to running, which is nice. Apart from that, I'm a bit of a news junkie, so like being updated with what's happening in the world, and that's about it.
All right, thank you so much for that lovely introduction, Sandesh. So I'm actually just curious to know. I know like we've known each other for a while now, but how and when did you like find your calling in InfoSec? So was that like an accidental thing that happened, or was it a conscious choice?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, it wasn't accidental per se. I mean, it wasn't called InfoSec, I guess, when I started. Probably yeah. Dates me on how old I am. But right, so I think when I was in college doing my engineering, I think in the final year you get to choose kind of what subjects you want to study and what projects you want to work on. I think we cooked up a really, really bad hashing algorithm as a part of my final year project. I hope nobody ever finds it. Right, but the interest in security had definitely started right there. And I think I was pretty clear by the end of engineering that I wanted to do something in security. I think the initial calling was to do, something in crypto and maybe do, have a more researchy career. But over time, I think, application security was interesting. When I was doing my master's, I had taken a course on e-commerce security or something. And then we had a professor who had a few free passes to an OWASP event. I think it was AppSec DC 2010, if I remember correctly. And then he was willing to give it away to a couple of students if we were willing to volunteer at the conference. So I said, all right, that sounds like a free attendance to a conference, right? And when you're a student, that's pretty cool. So I knew nothing about OWASP, I knew nothing about application security, but I went to the conference anyway, and I was really, really, it was really interesting to see what was happening there, right? So until then, I was more a system security crypto guy. But when I attended the conference and understood that there is, like an intersection between development and software development and security, it kind of got me really interested. So at that point, I think it was pretty clear that I'll start working on AppSec because I also had a bit of a coding background. So I knew that will work out. So yeah, that's kind of how I got started. And then I looked for jobs in that area. And I was lucky to kind of, have a couple of jobs, in that area, which I spent over a decade working on. So that's how I got started.
All right. So how has the journey been like so far? I mean, I know I think I've seen most of it, but I think I would want yeah. to hear it from you.
No, I think, I mean, it's obviously been great. I really enjoy what I'm doing. And I've had, like I said, I've had, my previous work at Synopsys or Cigital, when I started working on it, was really interesting because it kind of took me around the world. I started working in the United States, spent about a year and a half there, and then I moved back to Bangalore. And here I got a chance to work with many different companies in Asia Pacific. Right. And it kind of gave you like a really nice ringside view of how things work in security. And what was really interesting was, you know, when you work with customers in North America and then India and Singapore and Hong Kong and China and all these countries, there's such different companies, right? Such different cultures and everything. But you see that there's such a common thread of security. They have very similar problems with very similar solutions, right? So it kind of really grounds you to tell you that, you know, hey, you know, once you understand the basics, there's a lot of patterns you can find across companies. And it was really interesting to see how similar problems manifest differently in different industries, right? So that was amazing. I really enjoyed doing that. And you know, in the last couple of years at Razorpay, it's kind of given me a completely different kind of a inside view, where, you know, I'm working at a really, really fast growing company. No, I don't think we can call ourselves a startup anymore. And like a really fast growing company, and how security needs to scale along with the company, right? So yeah, so these two jobs, along with the, you know, the relationships I've built with people over time, it's been very exciting.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. I think it's like two different extremes, right? Of how you have worked with and like the kind of customers you've worked with.
Yeah. I mean, I used to joke when I left my previous company that I've told a lot of companies on what needs to be done now. Now I have to figure out if it actually makes sense, because, you know, I'll have to implement it myself. So yeah, well, the good news is turned out most of what we said actually worked. So that's good, but you're right. They are two different worlds.
Oh, that's good to know. All right. So, Sandesh, I know you've been working on a bunch of things, right? I think it'll be great if you could share with our listeners what is that you're currently working on, or is there anything specific that our listeners need to know about the work that you've been doing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anything they need to know, but you know, I think about an year and a half ago when kind of COVID hit, you know, I've always had like a itch to write. And I know I've written a little bit in the past, but I think about a year and a half ago, I started a newsletter called Boring AppSec, right? And I think I wrote about 11 or 12 editions of it. And I hope to restart sometime soon, right? I hope this is like a social proof thing that I've committed to starting again. So I'll hopefully start again. But I really enjoy doing that. I really enjoy kind of, you know, thinking about problems, like concrete problems, and figuring out like, you know, what frameworks can be applied to solve those problems in an abstract way, right? So because I feel like sometimes we go so much into detail, we kind of forget the bigger problems. So I kind of write about that on Boring AppSec. So, you know, if somebody wants to check it out, I think the newsletters then give you a good idea of kind of how I think about security and what, in this case, about app security in specific. Other than that, you know, it's a regular career, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So I think you should share the details with me regarding the newsletter, so I can post it on the episode description for the listeners to check it out. So can you like talk a little bit about some of the communities that you have been associated with, and what is that you love about them? I know we have like a common community. That's the Null community. Mm-hmm. Where I also, I think, met you initially. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, to be honest, I haven't been as active, you know, as I wanted to be in communities. But I think, yeah, the OWASP and Null communities have been the ones that I've been kind of associated on and off with. OWASP mostly as a consumer, I think. Null, you know, as a participant, at least in early 2012. I mean, and you know, the one thing I really liked about Null was when I moved back from the US, right, it was a pretty big change for me personally. And I worked from home, I think, for a period of about 10 to 11 months. So which meant I just moved back, right? So none of my friends were here. And you know, I would work from home for most of the week. And then I think once a month or twice a month, we would meet on a Saturday for Null meets. And that kind of became the highlight, because that was the only time I actually met work people, right, in person. And this is all pre-COVID, so not meeting people was not normal then, right? So in addition to kind of, you know, just you know, getting me introduced to a bunch of security folks in Bangalore, it also was, there were a lot of friendships I formed there, which I still keep. So yeah, I think 2012, 2013, Null played, or rather 2013, 2014, you know, Null played a really key role kind of in my life. But yeah, in general, even apart from that, right, there are formal communities, but there are also informal communities. So you kind of, you know, from consuming content, from meeting up in conferences, etc., you kind of keep learning from there. So yeah, I think security is one industry where there's a very, very strong community. I think there are different areas of computer science, we can call it broadly, where communities are strong, and security is definitely one of them. You know, because it's kind of hard to share everything you do publicly. So the only way to share and learn from each other is to form communities of trust where you can talk to each other, right? And it can start off in a public manner, but then very, very often what happens is a subset of those folks become very close together, and then they exchange ideas, they exchange thoughts, right? So yeah, communities are really powerful and really important for an industry like security.
Yep, I agree with you. They do play like a huge role in the way how you operate eventually, I think, because you get to meet a lot of people and there's a lot of perspective and learning as well that you receive as you go along the way.
Yep, agreed.
All right. Okay, so Sandesh, in season two, I've actually started something new called like the rapid round. So this is more like I'm going to ask you like a question and you could just give me like a one-liner answer. You don't have to get too much into the details of it, right? So are you ready to get started?
I am, but I have two problems with this. One, I already speak really rapid, right? So I don't know how much more rapid you want. And two, everybody knows when somebody asks me to stop, it's very hard for me to stop in one line.
All right, we can try.
We'll
we
try.
Can try.
We'll try.
Yeah.
We'll try.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to ask is like, so if not InfoSec, right, then which profession is that you would have chosen and why?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I always really like arguing, so I would have probably been like a lawyer. Or a journalist. I think either a lawyer or a journalist. I really liked computers, but I wasn't really fond of science in general for the longest time. But since I really like computers and programming and stuff, that's kind of why I got into it. And I kind of definitely kind of like picking things out, looking at things from the other side, which is one of the things that draws me to security as well, right? And I think that comes through, you know, when you're a lawyer or journalists and things like that. So yeah, either a lawyer or a journalist, I think.
All right. Okay, that's an interesting career to have. Next question is that who is that one person that really motivates you when, you know, you're feeling low or down?
I mean, at work or in general?
Anything works. Like,
I think
you can probably
yeah.
give work and generally as well.
Yeah, I mean, at work, I think I argue so much with people that I think just the arguments give me a high, so that should be sufficient, right? I don't think there's one person. I mean, obviously, depending on what's happening or what got me down, there are different people who help me out. Like, you know, I have a, you know, my you know, Kabir, who used to be my manager in my previous companies, is a great mentor and someone I talk to when things are down. Personally, obviously, you know, family, you know, really plays a key part, right? So that yeah. always helps out. Especially family plus long drives make a big difference, right? I think when I'm down, long drives with the family is kind of what changes things. But yeah, I don't think it's like one person, but yeah, there's a bunch of things.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to know. All right. So what is that one thing that you love about InfoSec and one thing that you dislike?
I mean, one thing I love about is that is how there's no end to how much you can learn. So you can essentially spend like 30 years and you know, somebody out of college can come and tell you stuff that you never heard of, right? And it's probably true largely about you know, our industry, the tech industry itself, but in security also, you know, it's amazing how much there is to learn. So you know, it's very hard to have dull, boring days, right? Because there's always something new to learn. So that's yeah. probably one thing I really like. What I don't like, wow, there's actually a very big list. So maybe I should not go through all of them. Won't be rapid. But I think
You can list out one of it, maybe.
Yeah, let me list a couple. Right, I think one thing is sometimes we kind of feel like all our all InfoSec problems are very special, and I kind of feel like it's not, right? I think other industries have solved a lot of problems that InfoSec today faces, like, you know, things like talent shortage, things like, you know, convincing stakeholders. I often hear security folks saying, hey, we don't know how to kind of, you know, the companies are not supportive, the leadership is not supportive, we don't know how to explain things, like, I mean, how to ask for more budget or more resources, etc. So I kind of feel like these are, you know, there's a lot we can learn from other industries and other streams, right? Which I think we don't, maybe, right? So we always feel like we need like a special solution for InfoSec, right? I always believe that, you know, when you read things like, you know, behavioral economics and they talk about like incentives, right? Incentives are a very popular word now in the last 4 or 5 years, thanks to like Uber and Ola and those guys. But in general, this is not something which was used, but actually you can apply a lot of those things, you know, to convince, you know, to convince your stakeholders. So to give you an example, right? If you really want your engineers or your developers to start fixing security issues in their code, there's no value in kind of like, you know, being yelling at them and weekly reports, etc. What you should really think about is, hey, what are the incentives to fix this? Can I add to the incentives? Can I improve it? Right? And these are solved problems in many other industries. But for whatever reason, we feel like we'll have to reinvent the wheel. So I think there's a lot to learn for us from other industries, and we should look to that, right? We should abstract our problems, see how others have solved it, and bring it back. I think if we do more of that, I think we'll get to, we'll mature. The industry will probably mature a lot faster. At least that's what I think.
Well, that's a very interesting perspective, I would say. Like, I never realized until you actually pointed it out right now. But that does sound good.
Or maybe it's not true. That's why you never heard of it.
No, I mean, it's a very common problem that stakeholders don't take security, very seriously or
seriously.
Important.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know that is a very common problem, but I did not realize that when you mentioned that other industries have also faced this, but they've kind of overcome that. So I think that is probably new to me, or probably I never looked at it that way. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you speak to anybody in marketing, right, their number one thing is that how do we get attention to what we are trying to sell, for example, right? That's a very common problem. It's a solved problem in many different industries, but we are not able to learn lessons from there, right? Because we kind of, I think sometimes we feel like you're special and we need special solutions, which is true to a certain extent, but, certain human things don't change.
Yeah. So moving on. So who is your inspiration in the industry and why?
I don't know. It's hard to. I think there was a quote. I should have probably read this up before I came in. But in general, I don't like putting people on the pedestal. Right? If you hero worship someone and you really look up to them, and then they say something really stupid on Twitter, you feel bad. Right? So
yeah,
for me, in
oh,
general,
I've been there.
Exactly. Right. So
yeah.
So in general, I don't like putting people on a pedestal and then expecting too much of them. I think, yeah, when somebody, no matter who it is, when they teach me something new, I'm always open to learning. But, I don't like putting people on a high pedestal and then, increasing expectations and then suffering because of that.
All right. Moving on, I wanted to ask, what are some of the latest trends that you've seen in InfoSec?
Latest trends which make sense and latest trends which don't make sense.
You can talk about both.
Look, I mean, I don't think I'm one of those people who worry too much about latest trends, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think slightly differently. I think I always think about how can we go down to the basics and solve the problems, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think as, since we are so tied to technology, right? So I think every time there's a new technology, we'll have to think about how do we solve problems for that particular technology. Like a few years, I mean, maybe like the phenomenon in the last like five, six years of, with the usage of public cloud, obviously we had to change how we think about security as well. So to me, that was a genuine trend which we had to change. Like all of us had to think differently about securing things on the cloud, right? So that was a real trend where we had to learn more and we had to change. But a lot of the trends I see are fads, right? So yeah. So I mean, I don't worry too much about trends. If something is really, really important and really useful, it'll show up in a way which is usable, right? So for me, I'm more interested in getting down to the basics and solving problems as opposed to following trends. So I'm not the right person to ask about the latest trends, I guess.
All right, no worries. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I think that was a very interesting way of looking at things, I would tell.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to like ask you one last thing. That is, what is your advice to folks starting out in the industry? I mean, in the security industry and people in the security industry.
Well, people in the security industry, I mean, I don't have much. I think I have more to learn from them than I have to offer. But for people who are starting out, maybe I think understanding that, the security industry is very different from today from what it was like 15, 20 years ago, or even a decade ago, right? There are many, many different kinds of requirements within security. There's room for people who are deeply technical. There are people who can communicate really well. There's room for people who want to build stuff. There's obviously room for people who want to break stuff. So I think find your niche, and whatever niche you fill into, try and kind of be an expert. I think a good way to get started is to kind of go deep into one area, and then over time you can broaden. Right. And again, the advantage of being in security is that you have a lot of community and a lot of free open source stuff on the internet that you can learn from, right? So it is always enough. There's always enough room to learn. So yeah. So to summarize, I would say find a niche, and there are many, many niches out there. So you can find a niche, and then try and go deep by engaging with free content as well as community.
Yeah, I agree with you on the part that there's so many resources available right now. Like, I don't think that was really the case probably 4 or 5 years ago, right? I mean, it was there, but it was not to an extent it is today. So I guess that's the advantage that folks starting out now have.
Agreed, agreed.
All right, Sandesh, thank you so much, for taking time to be here on this podcast and sharing your experience with us. It was lovely having you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That was it for today, listeners. I hope you all enjoyed learning about Sandesh's journey. In case you want to reach out to him, you can find him on Twitter and LinkedIn. I've shared his details along with the newsletter link in the episode description. Also, you can now leave a review for each episode on the Spotify app. So do let us know what your thoughts are on this episode. And if you are an Apple Podcast user, then don't forget to leave us a review there. Stay tuned for our next guest. Until then, stay safe and take care.